talks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Alex Blount, who works as PETA Tour Administrator. In this case, the tour in question is PETA's iOrca so-called Empathy Project. iOrca involves using Google virtual reality goggles to immerse participants in a world where they can swim freely in the ocean with their orca family. They also meet an orca mother, voiced by Nurse Jackie and soprano star Edie Falco, who still mourns the baby that was taken from her decades ago and sent to SeaWorld. We'll learn more about iOrca and hear a bit of audio from it, and about the tour, which visits city nears all three SeaWorld locations, including Orlando in the next couple days, Tampa next week, Texas cities beyond that. We'll do all that and more when we speak with Alex Blount, in studio no less, in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also, later in the show, I'll speak briefly with Kimber Sobeck, a dog trainer I've known or known about for less than 24 hours, but I was really struck by her idea for boosting the prospects of black dogs being adopted. As we've talked about many a time on the show, black dogs and black cats tend to be the most neglected animals at shelters or other adoption settings, so anything that enhances their chances of finding a good home merits some attention. So I'll chat with Kimber about that later in the program. Also later in the program, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll offer a pair of tickets to see Otmar Liebert this Saturday, June 27th at the Capitol Theater. Before we go much further, I should note that I'm back today after a couple of weeks of vacation with my family, so I want to first rethank all who supported Talking Animals and me in the summer fun drive at the very beginning of the month. We made our goal and traveled well beyond that, so thank you for all your donations and support. I also want to thank Bev Kepshaw, who did a wonderful job sitting in for me on last week's program. 2 weeks ago, it was Memorex Me with, among other things, an encore broadcast of my interview with Helen McDonald, author of H's for Hawk. Lastly, I want to mention a WMN event that Flea and I are producing, the Florida premiere of Sit, Stay, Ride, the story of America's sidecar dogs, a documentary about the colorful subculture of motorcyclists with sidecars and the dogs who ride in those sidecars. This is screening July 28th at Tampa Picture Show. It's a charming, surprisingly poignant film, and if you love dogs, or any animals really, you'll love Sit, Stay, Ride. Plus, the theater is a really comfy joint where you can settle in with food from a vast menu and adult beverage if you're inclined. Tickets are $10 and you can get those tickets or more information at WMNF.org. So now, I think that gets us caught up on everything. Though, Alex, I'm sorry with all those announcements. We're out of time. But just kidding. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@WMNF.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Alex Blount to Talking Animals. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. As I mentioned before we went on air, I rarely get the guests in studio, so I'm very, very excited when I do. There's actual eye contact and a normal conversation, or at least something approximating one, so it's very exciting. So in a moment, of course, we'll address iOrca in some detail, but let's first find out a bit about you. What drew you working for PETA?
Well, I became vegan about 3 years ago. And I, at the time, I was working as a software developer in Phoenix, Arizona, and I just decided I needed a change and realized that I'd like to spend more of my time advocating for animals, and working for PETA is one of the best opportunities.
Cool. And so when did you actually start with PETA?
I started about a month and a half ago.
Okay.
On this tour.
So your first gig with PETA was this gig?
Yes.
Okay. How did they select you for this gig, or how did was this a matchup just of your interest and being sort of willing to tour around the country, or how did this sort of come about that this was your sort of first job with PETA?
Yeah, I looked at what PETA had open, what I could do. Mm-hmm. And this was an opportunity. I was excited for the chance to tour the country and talk to a lot of people. It's great to get that out there on the streets and,
sure,
share the message with the public.
Were captive orcas and sort of SeaWorld and other places like SeaWorld a particular passion of yours coming into it, or has that sort of become more the case since you've mm-hmm. taking the job?
I came to animal rights through through vegetarianism and veganism, but it's not hard to you know, empathize with these animals and to you know, broaden our circle of compassion. And so yeah, it did not take long at all for me to adopt these other issues that are very important.
Let's talk about Iorca. So can you tell us a little bit about how the project was conceived initially?
Well, we wanted an approachable way and something innovative that we could use to get people thinking differently about animals. Something that we could go out on the street, put in people's hands, and help them understand what the orcas are going through at SeaWorld in, you know, these tiny concrete tanks for decades and decades.
There are probably at PETA and elsewhere always ideas being sort of bandied about, okay, well, how can we bring more awareness to what's happening at SeaWorld and what's happening with other places that have captive orcas? But how did it go from that sort of general, probably ongoing concern to, hey, how about this virtual reality thing with the goggles, and we'll take it on tour? How did that specifically come about?
Well, we have an innovation team that is always on the lookout for the latest and greatest way to get people thinking differently about animals. And so this tour was funded in part by Sam Simon's donations, and they had the idea that virtual reality would be a great way to get people to consider the plight of these animals. Studies have shown that virtual reality and virtual experiences can inform our behavior in the real world. And it's been used for smoking cessation, to help people overcome fears like fear of heights. And so we really wanted people to experience the joy and freedom of being an orca in the wild, swimming with their family, and then be able to consider the contrast with what the orcas at SeaWorld are put through.
What about the timing of the Iorca tour? To what extent is it intended to consolidate and underscore the impact generated by Blackfish and more recently Beneath the Surface, the recent book by former SeaWorld orca trainer John Hargrove? Did that figure in, like, hey, this is a particularly good time to build on those things with this virtual reality experience?
Well, I think our intent with the summer tour was to ask people who are either on their summer vacations or making their summer plans to boycott SeaWorld. That's what we're really out there asking people to do, and we're using the virtual reality to help encourage them to do that. Obviously, Blackfish, the film, did so much good. So many people we talked to on the streets have said, you know, I've seen Blackfish. It really helped me understand that when SeaWorld keeps these orcas in these tiny concrete tanks and chemically treated water for decades and decades, the harm it does to them and how cruel it is.
And not coincidentally, perhaps, Blackfish just aired yet again over the weekend, I think at least multiple times on CNN. And I think beyond what the film did in the theater, I think the CNN broadcast and of course it can stream it on Netflix, but I mean, you know, CNN thing is even easier. You're just sitting there, if you don't have Netflix, you don't have to spend a cent, but there it is. And I just think that the multiple airings over now quite a period of time really, I think, allowed that kind of awareness to explode pretty much. So
absolutely.
let's hear a little bit of, I should mention that just before we went on air, I did the Iorca experience, which is really cool. And so we're going to hear a little bit of audio from that now and then talk a little bit more with Alex. So this is sort of the beginning, if I have things to set up properly, of the Iorca experience that Alex is taking on tour. Basically, the cities, I should point out, in and around where the three SeaWorld parks are located. That's sort of the focus of the tour.
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's hear a little bit.
You are a young orca migrating south with your family pod. Life in the ocean is exhilarating and wonderful. You and your family swim for miles and miles each day. You stick close together. Each day brings adventure and interesting surroundings. Today, you hear another orca crying close to shore. You swim over to see what's wrong.
Okay, so that's effectively sort of the first part of the Iorca experience. When you're wearing the goggles, you're underwater. You're indeed swimming around with orcas, and then, as we'll hear at least some of, perhaps in a moment, then the next part is the part where Edie Falco from Sopranos, Nurse Jackie, etc., is the voice of a mother orca whose baby has been taken away and taken to SeaWorld, of course. Well, I guess maybe let's hear a little bit of that now, and then we'll just talk more about just the overall thing, and including Edie's contribution. So this is sort of the remaining part, or at least most of it, of Iorca.
Hello. I'm so glad you're here. Let me show you something. Follow me. 30 years ago, my baby was right here by my side, swimming and playing, when humans in boats came up to us. They surrounded us with nets. We were terrified. 1 minute my little boy was with me, the next he was pulled up out of the water. There was nothing I could do to save him. He was taken away from me. I heard his cries then. I can still hear his cries now. Can you? I recognize my own baby's call. Any mother would. SeaWorld has him. He's in this awful place, deep inside this hard wall. They have stolen his life, torn us apart, and put him in a concrete box filled with chemically treated water. They make him do tricks for his food. And I am helpless to defend him from the people who are holding him captive. He's been robbed of his family's love and all the joys of the ocean, where he belongs. We miss him terribly. His cries haunt me. Please tell everyone you know not to buy tickets to SeaWorld. That's the only way they will release him so he can come back home again. If you think SeaWorld should release orcas back into the ocean, please swim up to the surface with me.
So that is the remaining portion of Iorca. There's still some visual stuff, but that's pretty much the completion of the audio. So let's talk about this contribution from Edie Falco. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I adore Edie Falco for all kinds of reasons. And one thing I know from The Sopranos, but I used to watch her on Oz, and I've seen every episode of Nurse Jackie. I'll be bummed when I think it's this Sunday is the end of that show. That show's whole run. So, but I guess I have a sort of a slightly mixed reaction to her portion of Iorca. I mean, her baby obviously was taken from her and to SeaWorld decades ago. But whatever horrendous things that go on at SeaWorld now and have for some time, they don't, as far as I know, still take orcas from the wild and haven't from some time. So I would understand doing something about how the orcas born in captivity at SeaWorld are often torn away from their mothers to the enormous distress of both mother and calf. Mm-hmm. But it felt a little artificial or bordering on disingenuous to include that element. What kind of discussion did you guys have about that part of Iorca?
Well, you're right. SeaWorld is no longer allowed to take these orcas from the wild. States like Washington have said, don't come back. Please don't. You will not take orcas from our waters. And while that's true, there are still orcas in SeaWorld that were taken from the wild that remember the ocean. Corky in San Diego has been in captivity for about 45 years. It's a very long time to sit in a concrete box and stare at a blank concrete wall. Tillicum, who Blackfish focuses on, again, he was also taken from the wild. And so while many of the orcas in SeaWorld were born through artificial insemination, something that Tillicum is used for as a bull, these animals, some of them remember the ocean. And even the ones that were born in captivity, the confinement still affects them. They have instincts, and their instincts do not tell them to float listlessly for hours in their tanks or swim in endless circles.
So it's more just sort of trying to represent the entire experience of the orcas that people would find at any given SeaWorld park, rather than more actively representing what happens in recent years for the whales that most people see there. Although, like you say, Corky's and Tillicum, who's probably the most famous, for better or worse, of those orcas. But so let's talk a little bit about people's reactions. So how many dates have you done on the tour so far? I think you started in California.
Yeah, we were in San Diego for about 10 days. We spent a day in L.A. and San Francisco, and right now we're in Orlando. We're about halfway done with our stops in Orlando, and the response has been fantastic.
So walk me through. So let's say, first of all, how do people come come to you, or how do you come to them wherever you've set up that given day? Is there a big sign? Is there promotional or media things? How do they know, like, where to find you, or do a lot of people kind of just stumble into where you are?
We have a little tent. We have a large, we call it a fishbowl. It's a large kind of circular banner, and it shows an orca, Tillicum, in a fishbowl, and we have actually a large hammer that people can pose, breaking Tillicum out of that fishbowl. And so people, yeah, they come up and they say, what are you doing here today? We tell them about the virtual reality experience, and they're excited to try it. It's a cool new thing that is a great way. It's so approachable, which I think I mentioned before, and suitable for children, as everyone heard here. And it really helps to get people thinking about the fact that in the wild, one of these orcas would swim up to 100 miles a day, and they'd stay with their family their whole life. And in SeaWorld, none of that is possible. They've been taken, everything that's natural to them has been taken away from them.
Has there been an array of reactions when people do the iOrca experience mm-hmm. afterwards? What are some of the comments or reactions that then you hear from people who have undergone that experience?
I mean, the reactions have been so positive. People are so, you know, they feel so strongly about the experience. They feel so strongly about the way that these orcas are treated. Some of them have been moved to tears because it is heart-wrenching to hear the things that SeaWorld does to these orcas, what it subjects them to in these tiny concrete tanks where they're often grouped with orcas that they don't get along with, and they lash out at one another. And just what this confinement does to an orca and it's important to remember just how long these orcas live. In the wild, the average is 45 years. In SeaWorld, unfortunately, it's 15. But they're confined.
That's not what their commercial says. No, I'm just kidding. That commercial's a doozy. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
These animals are subjected to these totally unnatural and cruel conditions for decades and decades.
And so I'd be interested to know, in light of what we were speaking about a few moments ago in terms of blackfish and the impact and just how widely available over the years it is to have seen it. And so I think a lot of people have that might not otherwise have seen a film with mm-hmm. a sort of a similar intent. Have you found that a lot of people come do the iOrca experience and are familiar a little bit with some of the issues because they have seen blackfish? I mean, it's probably hard to quantify, but I guess another way to put this is what sort of percentage are thinking about these things for the very first time when they come put on the earphones, the headphones, and the goggles? And how many people are just sort of building on some awareness that they may have had from one means or another?
Mm-hmm. Many people have seen blackfish and are aware of the issues. But we've spoken with a lot of people who, whether they've gone to SeaWorld or not, just haven't maybe considered in depth what they're supporting when they go to SeaWorld. And you know, those are the interactions that are so wonderful to have, because we can really share from a fresh perspective with them that, you know, unfortunately, that they don't get everywhere. As you said, SeaWorld has these new ads where, you know, they have a push on to attempt to convince people that these orcas are doing well in this terrible artificial environment in these tanks. And you know, really, a lot of people have spoken with us have been so skeptical. They've said, you know, I've seen these new ads from SeaWorld, but why, you know, why are they saying this?
Yeah. Well, no, that's really interesting, because I mean, those ads, it's so funny. My mother-in-law was just saying, because we've seen them when they first came out, and I've had people on the show since that, including John Hargrove. But God, they're still running like, I mean, I don't know what they're spending, but they're just running, running, running. So almost anywhere you go, there is one of those SeaWorld ads. And it's so funny, just again, we just got back from a trip, and my mother-in-law was saying, you know, I had just seen them again, the ads. And it's like, she was kind of laughing because she thought, these people seem so insincere. And I thought, you know, it's an interesting point, because you think, what's at stake and all the money that SeaWorld has and what they probably spent producing that spot, that someone would have that reaction, and even someone that maybe is less steeped in the world than my mother-in-law from the people you're talking about would kind of wonder, like, what's up? Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's counterproductive in a way, although I'm sure they're probably influencing a lot of people who just aren't giving it much thought and go to SeaWorld mm-hmm. or are going to continue to go to SeaWorld and think, oh, well, obviously they've gotten a bad rap somewhere. We don't know where or how. But it's just interesting how there's pockets, at least, where that ad is very ineffective, even if you don't know much
yes.
about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just tune in, my guest is Alex Bland, who's touring with iOrca, a virtual reality experience that gives participants the sense of being orcas, swimming with their orca family. As we've noted, Nurse Jackie and soprano star Edie Falco provides the voice of the mother orca, and Alex and company are on a tour in and around SeaWorld locations, the three SeaWorld locations. So in Orlando today, tomorrow, and Friday, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and Friday will be at the Wet n Wild, the water park?
Yes, today and tomorrow we'll be in downtown at Church and Orange, and then, yes, Wet n Wild on Friday.
And then a week from today in Tampa, what's the location that you'll be at in Tampa, or is that still being sorted out?
We're still looking at, yeah, what location.
All right, well, if you if you'd like to offer a question or a comment to Alex, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And we do have one caller who's been holding quite some time. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Alex Blount.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I enjoy the show always. I am a call of a different opinion.
Okay.
I'm a wealthy guy, and I wasn't wealthy when I was a kid, and I certainly would have never been able to see a whale before, but I was able to see him in SeaWorld as other animals and zoos and whatnot. And because of that experience, you know, I've donated a lot of money to organizations that protect our oceans and our sea life out there. I got to say that if I was PETA, I would work with this organization just to make sure they have a good life, because those guys are really the ambassadors for people that don't have the money to go out in a boat and see a fish or see a big whale or a tiger or a lion in a zoo. And, you know, without that support, a lot of these organizations would never exist. The environmental organizations. I mean, it all starts somewhere.
So, I'm sorry, just to clarify, you're saying that PETA and others should work with SeaWorld on these issues?
Absolutely. They should look. You should take that experience away from people. You can argue that it's a bad life, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that would never donate to organizations that protect our oceans without having some type of connection with it. And there's no better connection than watching a whale that, whether it's a ploy or whatever, splashes you in the audience. You know, you remember that the rest of your life, and you give because of that, because you wind up having a relationship and you start thinking more about the ocean. And I just think that it's too bad that they want to take that away from people, where they should work with them to make it a better experience for the people as well as the animals.
Okay, couple things. One is, sir, I don't know if you're driving now, but your cell seemed to get very faint as you were talking there. I could still kind of hear you, so hopefully the listeners could too. But let me ask you an important question, then I'll offer Alex the chance to respond. But let me just ask you if you have seen the film Blackfish.
Yeah, I have. I was quite disturbed when I saw them take away the baby orca from its mother. And but at the same time, I also understand they take calves away from their mothers when they send them off to feedlots for slaughter. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, I'm not a vegan. I'm never going to be a vegan, and I'm not a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that creatures die so that I can survive. I'm a carnivore. So,
okay.
You know, life's not easy.
Okay. Well, Alex, do you have anything you'd like to respond? We've got some other callers here, so we're going to move on, but feel free to respond to our caller if you'd like.
Thank you.
You know, I think SeaWorld claims to be an educational experience, but the lesson that they really teach is that it's okay to exploit these animals, to keep them in artificial conditions that are so harmful to them, these sensitive, complex, and social creatures. And I don't think that that's what we want to... what we want to teach our children, that we should take things we love and lock them in a box forever, regardless of the harm that's done to them. I think that people can love and enjoy these animals without keeping them in such harmful conditions.
So let's take another caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Alex Blount.
Yeah, I was kind of sad to hear that last caller, and I hope he's still listening. The idea promulgated by animal exploitation, for-profit businesses, and zoos, and places like Busch Gardens, where they have a considerable amount of captive animals, they promulgate the idea that what they're doing is educating people so that people will be converted to conservation. And that meme has been studied in academia. And it turns out that the conservation education value of imprisoning other sentient conscious species in prison-like conditions, torturing them, harming them in every way possible, there is no conservation value. Wealthy people who have a conscience and who want to help save the planet from anthropogenic mass extinction, who want to save individual species from being slaughtered, they don't need to see a captive orca trapped and being tormented in a tank in order to have a conscience and donate money. And the fact is, as your guest is saying, you know, take a human being and take him out of his habitat zone, take him away from his family, take him away from his freedom, put him in a cage for no punishment reasons. It's not like he's a criminal. And then say, look, that's a human. Why don't you come and watch the human in his little cage and get educated and see what values we get out of that? The whole idea that SeaWorld or any animal captive, animal experimentation, any of that is okay, is simply a result of what's called speciesism, the ultimate arrogance that we humans have the right to do to every other species whatever we want to do for whatever purposes we want to do them for. And that is the ultimate ism. It's even worse than racism, and it is absolutely indefensible, and the caller needs to readjust his thinking and his conscience soon.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much. Alex, do you want to respond at all to our caller before we move on to another caller or some other questions?
You know, I agree with the caller. It's unconscionable what we do to these animals in the name of supposed education or scientific understanding. And, you know, in those ads, SeaWorld is claiming, they say, oh, we feed the animals so much. We give them all the veterinary care they need. But if the only thing that we care about, and if the only thing we cared about in life was access to medical care and getting fed every day, then prison would be a great place.
Sign me up. Yeah. We have some other callers and emailers, but let me ask you this too, because one of the things that the mom, voiced by Edie Falco, talks about and is urging SeaWorld and other places to release the art.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think for a lot of people, even who couldn't be more adamantly on the side of the orcas and what's best and sort of not exactly on the side of SeaWorld and other kind of parks, wonder about the actual practicality of that. Like, how would that actually work? Mm-hmm. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so the first caller was asking us to work with SeaWorld, and we would love to work with them on moving these orcas to coastal sanctuaries.
And what does that mean? What is a coastal sanctuary? How would that work, especially for an animal like, Tilikum, for example, since he's the biggest guy and he comes to mind and he's very famous?
Mm-hmm. So what we can actually do is repurpose commercial fish pens and kind of create an area of the ocean that is blocked off, usually in some kind of bay or cove. And that would provide the animal with a much more natural environment, ocean water. They could live in a larger environment where they're meant to be, in the ocean. And they could enjoy, you know, the feeling of the tides, things that they will never, ever experience in SeaWorld. This has been done before. Keiko, the orca from Free Willy, when she was finally released from the park she was in Mexico, she lived in one of these coastal sanctuaries. So we know it can be done. They would then have to be evaluated on a kind of case-by-case basis as to whether they could be rehabilitated and returned to the wild. But a coastal sanctuary would provide, it's so much better of an environment. I mean, we're talking about the difference between staring at a blank concrete wall all day and being able to possibly communicate with family members that they were torn away from decades ago.
And where are there some of those coastal sanctuaries currently in existence that you could point to as examples, or?
I don't believe that there are any orcas living in coastal sanctuaries.
Okay.
I'm not.
Because I'd be curious, for example, if one could move there, and we saw a little bit of the Keiko example, but like some that have been not only used to being fed, but of course have to sing for their supper to get fed typically, like how that, just as a fundamental question, would work, or would they be fed in sanctuaries? Because at this point, whether they would actually know how to hunt for food and get their own food would be problematic, I would suspect.
Well, that would be what we would have to, they would have to be evaluated for, whether they could learn to hunt on their own and things like that. But even if we did still have to provide them with their food, we wouldn't be asking them to perform every day. We wouldn't be subjecting them to unnatural waters, and they would be able to return to what is natural to them as much as possible.
They'd have some room to roam, even if it wasn't completely
exactly
free, but it wouldn't be a swimming pool either. So,
absolutely.
Let me read one of our emails. I went to SeaWorld one time many years ago. It bothered me to see these animals basically in prison. I once spent 4 days in jail. It was unpleasant at best. I felt that same feeling when I saw the dolphins and whales in confinement. Their only crime is some human tossed their compassion aside for personal gain. Maine. I became a wildlife rescue volunteer for many years and still help any creature in need when the situation arises. So thank you for that, emailer or texter in this case. So hi, let's take another caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Alex Blount.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a couple comments about the one caller, the wealthy guy identified himself as a wealthy person. One of his points was that it's too expensive for people to see, sea creatures unless they go to SeaWorld. And from what I've seen, SeaWorld's really expensive. There's a lot cheaper ways if that's what you want to do. I've been out to Caladese Island on a kayak, which cost me absolutely nothing. And I saw a whole herd of dolphins put on a much better show than you'd ever see at SeaWorld. So that's about all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. And I think there's so many ideas that are sort of intermingled here, but one is the idea of what you're seeing when you say, hey, I want to go see an orca or I want to go see an elephant, but it's captive, and what version of that animal you're actually seeing and how satisfying or illuminating or what sort of conservation element there is to that. So I appreciate that last caller's comment in particular. So let's see. I'm going to read another email here. I greatly admire the work your guest is doing on behalf of animals. How does he keep his spirits up while meeting potential SeaWorld customers?
Oh, that's not hard at all. I mean, we receive so many messages of support. It feels good to talk to people about something that is so important, about something that everyone really needs to consider. And I'm so happy, and the other people on the tour are so happy to be out there on the streets helping people understand what's going on at SeaWorld, and then telling them that they can make a difference simply by not visiting SeaWorld, and telling their friends and family to not visit SeaWorld. As long as, SeaWorld is making money off these orcas, it's going to keep them there in confinement. And so our goal is for everyone to boycott SeaWorld.
This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. I'm speaking with Alex Blount, who's touring cities near the three SeaWorld parks and other locales with iOrca, a virtual reality experience that gives participants the sense of being orcas swimming with their orca family. Nurse Jackie and soprano star Edie Falco provides the voice of the mother orca, whose baby is taken from her and sent to SeaWorld. We're in the last few minutes of our conversation with Alex, but if you'd like to join that conversation, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So on any stops of the tour near the three SeaWorld parks, how close on any given day have you gotten to one of the actual SeaWorlds? In other words, are you at any point very near to SeaWorld itself? Or is the idea to not get that close, but just sort of do your outreach nearby?
We want to reach tourists, locals, anyone we think may visit SeaWorld. And while we haven't been close to a SeaWorld, I guess Wet n Wild, the water park in Orlando, is the closest we've been. We definitely want to go to attractions where we think there would be some overlap. Mm-hmm. And Wet n Wild has been great for that. We've talked to a lot of people who either have been to SeaWorld or maybe are planning to go to SeaWorld. And those are the people that it really feels so good to reach.
Sure. So part of the reason I ask is that when people do circus protests, for example, they're of course protesting right on the grounds in front of the arena. And one of the things that happens if they're done respectfully and intelligently is that many of the people that come, even if they have their tickets in hand, will often say, you know what, yeah, we spent the money and we even paid for a babysitter in some case, whatever, but we're just not going. And they'll turn around and go, well, so I just wondered if at any point you thought about or did get close enough to SeaWorld where you'd have literally SeaWorld customers, not just potential customers, as I think probably is the target, and just see what the kind of response those people have. But it sounds like you haven't really been targeting people who are literally on their way to go to SeaWorld that day necessarily.
We have spoken to a lot of SeaWorld customers, but because we want to share this virtual reality experience, we want to be able to put it in their hands, let them try it out and experience, that freedom of being in the ocean. We need people to be walking by, and unfortunately, most people drive to SeaWorld, and it's kind of insulated with a lot of property that we would not be welcome on.
Yeah, for some reason.
But yeah, SeaWorld customers, we've spoken with many of them in San Diego and Orlando. But a lot of them, really, you can see them think. We all love to see these animals, but it's important to consider that just because we like to see them, just because we enjoy that, does not mean that it's the right thing to do. And We were urging everyone to boycott SeaWorld, and we urge SeaWorld to move these animals to coastal sanctuaries.
And I should mention, again, as we mentioned earlier in the show, though, that on Friday you'll be at Wet n Wild specifically, which, again, is close to SeaWorld.
Yes.
And has that kind of overlapping thing. And I think what we'll do, because it sounds like it's not clear at the moment at least, where specifically you'll be next Wednesday in Tampa, mm-hmm. but I'll find out and I'll do some posting on next mm-hmm. on next Wednesday show. I'll mention that just mm-hmm. so people who are interested in having the IORC experience know where to go in Tampa that are listening locally. But again, the tour, among other places, is going to land in Jacksonville on the 29th. Again, Tampa next Wednesday the 1st, Miami the 3rd, and then moves into Texas near the SeaWorld there. So Houston on the 8th, Dallas on the 10th, Austin on the 13th, and San Antonio on the 15th. So we're sort of running out a bit of our time, but this caller's been holding for a bit. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Alex Blunt.
Hello, my name is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I don't want to focus on the first caller. It was so ludicrous, and I just wanted to call and thank you for all that you're doing in your conservation. And it seems to me that as we go forward in the future, that the people on this planet are more and more concerned about other species, and we're doing all that we can to turn things around from the horrible way that we have treated our partners on this earth in the past. And I just wanted to thank you.
Well, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate
your
comment. Thank you. So let me read a few more emails and texts that have come in before we run out of time. So one says, tell wealthy guy that a splash from his kid at Wet n Wild might be more memorable than from a whale. So there you go.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just do that right now. So next Wednesday, July 1st, IORCA will be at the west side of North Franklin Street between West Kennedy Boulevard and Madison Street. And do we know what actual place that is, or just that's just the it's just a street?
We'll be on a street corner.
As of what time?
We will be there from about 11 o'clock to 6:30.
So. Okay. Wow. Okay. So the full day. So next Wednesday, July 1st, at the corner of Orange, Church and Orange, west side of North Franklin Street between West Kennedy Boulevard and Madison Street for most of the day. That's great. And let's see, another texter says the owners of SeaWorld own Busch Gardens and Adventure Island, boycott all. And just speaking of the splashing, just for what it's worth, have you seen Jurassic World?
I just saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, on Monday. Yeah.
Okay. The parallels to SeaWorld are particularly striking, I think, in mm-hmm. this version of the franchise film, including an arena, a water arena, uh-huh. where, you know, so anyway, I just found that very, very interesting. And again, the timing is very interesting. So, all right. So, Alex, we've been speaking with Alex Blunt, a PETA tour administrator on tour with IORCA. And there is a website to find out more information generally called SeaWorld of Hurt. Is it .org or .com?
.com or PETA.org.
Okay. Or PETA.org. Again, Orlando today and tomorrow and Friday at Wet n Wild. Next Wednesday, right here in Tampa, west side of North Franklin Street between Kennedy Boulevard and Madison, from 11 something till about 6, you said.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
11
so cool.
to 6:30.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, Alex, and good luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. In a moment, I'll speak with Kimber Sobeck, a dog trainer, who is what I think is a nifty idea for boosting the prospects of black dogs getting adopted. Right now, we're stepping into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Brian Regan with a piece called, perhaps fittingly enough, on the heels of IORCA, Whale Noises, on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I saw this documentary recently on whales. This guy has dedicated his life to telling you what the whales are saying. Wow. I don't know how you'd argue with him when he turns in his report. And he just throws it down there. Well, here's what the whales are saying. Okay, thanks, Charlie. He's looking back. Here's what the whales are saying. Yeah, Charlie figured it out. They show how he does it. He's out on a ship. He's got a pencil, and he deciphers the whale noises as he hears them. You know, he'll hear like... You know, he's like, oh, okay. He's lonely. No, you're lonely. I'd like to do that for like 2 weeks and then turn around and find out that the door's squeaking behind you.
That was Brian Regan with a piece called Whale Noises, taken from his album simply entitled Live. right now to talk about black dogs and her idea for enhancing the opportunities for them to be adopted into a good home, let's welcome Kimber Sobeck to Talking Animals. Good morning, Kimber.
Good morning, Duncan.
Thanks for joining me today on Talking Animals.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get the quick lowdown on you. What's your background?
Well, I'm a service dog trainer and I'm a canine good citizen evaluator for the AKC. And so, you know, I'm all into the dogs. I generally have labs and goldens, you know, for service dog work. But I like to help where I can and to kind of, you know, for the rescues and the dogs that are stuck, you know. So I came up with this idea called the Black Dog Program that brings light and color to these dogs. Because they're not seen because they're black and people have, you know, superstitions and, you know, they have preconceived notions about the color. So I make these bathrobes for dogs called comfies. And, of course, because I have labs and they're always in the water, so their bathrobes, you know, are on them every day after them so they don't mess my house up, you know. Well, they still do, but just not as much. But the comfies are real colorful, so we put one of those on the black dogs that are needing rescue and a brightly colored collar, leash, and a light-up collar for at night when they go out in the backyard so you can see them. So it's something to bring the attention to the black dogs who really need it to find a good home.
And it's pretty effective, it seems like. So, I mean, I just want to say, you know, I mentioned that we've known each other or known about each other less than 24 hours, but basically I saw a flyer of yours and thought it was such a great idea. I got in touch with you, and of course there was a particular black dog wearing the comfy that you were trying to find a home for him. By the time I'd reached you, that dog had already found a home.
It brought the attention that we wanted, and we had a wonderful person come and adopt her, and she had a really good little friend. I couldn't have been happier, and she was waiting quite a long time until that happened, and within 24 hours of brightening her up with the fun colors and all the stuff that is going to go along with those dogs when they get adopted, you know, really had people calling. So it's more of an idea that anybody can do, you know, in the country when they're helping these dogs to kind of, you know, bring it, have it sort of a special theme for these dogs.
Well, no, that's that's part of what I liked and what I wanted to speak to you about is that you seem all too happy for people to basically take this idea and run with it. I mean, there's been all kinds of ideas to try to boost the prospects of black dogs and black cats, for that matter, getting adopted. And part of the thing, it just sounds so sort of fundamental, but part of the problem is that when you go to the websites of shelters and pounds and other facilities, organizations, sometimes it's just a matter of how those black animals photograph that
exactly.
Sometimes diminishes their prospects. So anything that brings some color or contrast to that animal helps right off the bat. But I mean, you're beyond that with your cool comfy idea. And by the way, again, these are just sort of beach towels that people may or may not be using anymore that they could donate to, you know. And again,
preferably new. When we make them, we'd like them to be new.
Beach
towels. So any donations, you know, we just accept. That's fine for, you know, newer beach towels, so we know that the dogs are going out with new stuff.
Sure.
And we make them, you know, pretty easily here. So, and wherever other people can make them too. Like I said, I open it up to everyone to be able to do this for those dogs.
Yeah, well, that's what I was starting to say, and I sort of sidetracked myself there. But yeah, one of the things I really like is that you're all too happy to have people sort of take this idea and run with it wherever they are, because wherever they are, using these comfies or that idea for the bright beach towel, whatever, will indeed enhance the prospects. But I guess I should hasten to point out that at least with what you're doing so far, you're not just saying, hey, let's pretty up a black dog and hope for the best. I mean, you're really evaluating behavior, temperament. So maybe you could talk a moment or two about that, because that's I don't want this to seem like, hey.
I think within the black dog program, there should be some requirements, and I've listed it on a website so they get an idea.
And your website, I should quickly point out, is All Good Dog, singular, All Good Dog. Dog.com.
That's correct. Allgooddog.com. One dog only. But allgooddog.com. And on there, the Black Dog Program is listed so people can kind of see that there are some criteria for them. I suggest that they be tested by a certified trainer and tested with a group of dogs, a good group of dogs, of course, and make sure that they're able to be socialized well and that they're safe and they've at least been seen with other people, and that they are socially, you know, safe for people to have also. And I also always suggest rescue dogs to really be careful and not place them with young children in the house. That's just to make sure everybody's safe and, you know, and it all goes well.
Yeah.
So there are some certain criteria I think the black dogs should have that can be accepted and will be brightened up with these colors to be seen.
All the more, I think, the behavior temperament thing is because we want to
have
everybody and happy with their black dog experience and
exactly.
Have more of them in word of mouth rather than the other way around. So
exactly. And then I like them to be quarantined out of the shelter. Hopefully they're in a foster program or something so that they're, you know, shelters tend to have a lot of illness. They can't help it. It's the way it is. So that they're out and have quarantine so we know that they've gone through anything and that they're also healthy by the time they do get out. So those are the, you know, for everyone's sake, those are the criteria that I would use.
So really, I think for people to sort of steal, quote unquote, your idea and run with it, they just need some new, ideally, beach towels and a little bit of sewing ability. And then, but again, a key thing beyond that is evaluating the dog itself and making sure that, as with any really well-done adoption, that the proper evaluation is taking place and that it ends up being checked with dogs that, you know, households that have other dogs, etc. So cool. So one more time, this has been Kimber Sobeck, and the website is allgooddog.com. So Kimber, thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals and your cool idea.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Other people put in place. Thank you.
All right, awesome.
Bye-bye.
So this is Duncan Strauss, it's Talking Animals, and we're sort of nearing the end of our time, but coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Loy and Radioactivity, now rolling into the noon hour. It constitutes effectively a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more. I think we're going to jettison Name That Animal Tune, but the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 could win themselves a pair of tickets to see Mart Liebert, June 27th. That's this Saturday at the Capitol Theater. So the key thing, though, would you would need to come by the station to pick up the tickets because putting them in the mail would just be cutting it too close. So 813-239-9663 for Otmar Liebert tickets this Saturday, June 27th at the Capitol Theater. Want to quickly hit one or two items here, including that this might be happening as we speak, but the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission will take a final vote on whether to allow bear hunting in the state. Commissioners are scheduled to discuss the issue this morning at a meeting in Sarasota. If approved, bear hunting season would run from October 24 to October 30, and hunters would be allowed to kill one bear each, and it goes on from there, including that the agency calls it a quote-unquote limited bear harvest. Continue to love that phrase, of course. Take your dog to work day, by the way, is this Friday, June 26th, so get your dog ready. Of course, every Wednesday here at WNF is Take Your Dog to Work Day with the beautiful Charlie and Libby, occasionally Ernie and others. So anyways, we have just about reached the end of this edition of Talking Animals. Again, Rob Lowry coming up right after NPR News. Next Wednesday, be back when our guest will be Andrea Turcolo, co-founder of Cornell University's The Elephant Listening Project and considered the world's leading expert on Africa's reclusive and lesser understood forest elephants, which she's been studying for more than two decades in Central African Republic. So hope you'll join me for that. It's WMNF. It's Talking Animals. It's WNF Tampa. Thanks.